President Obama continues his Asia tour. He's in Myanmar today for the East Asia Summit. The agenda's broad, from finances and energy to territorial disputes in the South China Sea and ISIS. Here's President Obama speaking today.
We are very much invested in building the capacity, not just of individual nations, but between nations, so that together we can become stronger, more capable partners to each other and meet the regional and global challenges ahead.
The president is also using his visit to highlight Myanmar's move toward democracy. It's real, he said, but incomplete. Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, has promised political and economic reforms, but the country's leaders say they need more time to enact them. More recently, the country's come under criticism for its treatment of Muslims who are being chased out by Buddhist extremists. Well, today we want to look at another challenge in Myanmar, which is a special concern for conservationists. As Al Jazeera recently asked in a headline, Myanmar's timber elephants and their handlers have survived wars and dictatorships, but will they survive democracy? Let's bring in Vicky Croke. She writes for the Wildlife Blog at WBUR and joins us from time to time to talk about the animal world. Vicky, elephants not surviving democracy. What is this about?
Robin, we've seen the same phenomenon in places like India and Thailand, where captive elephants who once worked in logging have been replaced by construction equipment, or there just isn't enough timber now for them to work with. So those animals are now literally begging on the streets with their mahouts or handlers for money and food. Now we're talking about the possibility of it happening in a place with a huge population of captive elephants. The fact that Myanmar has such a big, intact, genetically diverse population of elephants is an amazingly wonderful situation, a really rare thing. Asian elephants are highly endangered, maybe 50,000 Asian elephants left across 13 countries. In Myanmar, there are 5,000 working elephants and perhaps as many in the wild, though probably fewer. And so we know this is a rapidly changing country, and along with the usual worries for elephants, loss of habitat, poaching, we have another one, possible unemployment for the working elephants as logging practices changed.
Well, but I can hear people saying, but elephants shouldn't be made to work for humans, they should all be in the wild, and yet logging is probably what helps sustain them.
Yeah, it seems crazy, and it is a complicated picture. This is a country that's been closed off for a long time, during which elephants and not big machines continue to pull logs out of the forest, which has been good for the environment, and in many ways really good for the elephants, too. As you know, I've just written the book Elephant Company,
yes,
about a British man who worked with elephants in the logging camps of the country, then known as Burma. And the camps today, amazingly, haven't changed very much since the 1920s when J.H. Williams was there. So elephants have remained vital to the country and economically important.
And we highly recommend the book because you'll see this incredible relationship they have,
you,
and how they do let them out into the wild on occasion. That's how they forage. That's how they eat. That's how they mate. And then they return and do this work with man. So flesh that out, though. What were the conditions like?
Well, the handlers today, as they were then, are really devoted to their elephants. Now, in modern times, the animals are really monitored by veterinarians, which is a huge improvement. And in fact, the animals probably have better health care than the poor handlers. And all of that is not to say that there's never abuse. There has to be some. The fact that is that they wear chains and harnesses. But we look at the elephants, and they live this kind of semi-wild life. I mean, they work 4 or 5 hours a day, and then they're set free into the forest for the rest of the time. They don't sleep very much, so they can forage, socialize. They can even mate with wild elephants. So these elephants we're talking about are kind of half wild and half captive. I spoke with Hannah Mumby. She's an evolutionary ecologist with the University of Sheffield in the UK. She's part of a program there called the Myanmar Timber Elephant Project. She spent a year in that part of the world, and she's busy crunching numbers right now and data to evaluate clear patterns of overall health and reproduction and to really look at the future of these elephants. She thinks these animals are of global importance. And I'm sorry about the quality of this recording, but here's what she had to say.
And the elephants are a small part of the wider picture. At the same time, they're a very valuable resource for the country, because this could be perhaps one of our last opportunities for a self-sustaining wild elephant population. And the captive population could be a big part of that.
But Vicky, if all of these elephants became unemployed, couldn't they just be released into the forest?
It's a tough scenario. One, is there enough forest? Can they be repatriated? plenty of behaviorists think that they cannot just go back to the wild. Although they live so much of their life, you would think that that's part of it. Also, they're of economic value. These elephants, if they trade them to another country, are worth thousands of dollars each. So I think that's a tough thing to pull off.
Right. As you mentioned, they'll be poached. I mean, they're actually safer with humans much of the time. So what's going on? What's being done to help?
Many conservation organizations are focused on Myanmar right now, Hannah's group, for instance, but also just this month, the World Wildlife Fund opened an office in Myanmar.
So the country's opening up to conservationists, but also to big business.
That's right. And there's huge concern everywhere, not only conservationists, but the people of Myanmar, other countries coming in to extract natural resources. And here, China's been a big player. And that's something to watch. We've got reports just this month from an environmental watchdog group, for instance, that when the Chinese president's delegation arrived in Tanzania, they bought so much ivory that the local prices for it doubled. And it's charged that the ivory was taken out of the country in secret aboard the presidential plane. Mm-hmm. Add to that the other threats. There have been consistent reports of young elephant calves being smuggled out of Myanmar and into neighboring Thailand for use in the tourist trade. All of that said, Robin, there's hope. I think conservation groups are moving quickly, and as Hannah Mumby, who spent so much time there, said, the elephant is very important to the people of Myanmar, and they have a chance to learn from the mistakes of the countries around them before it's too late.
And say that again. So there are countries in which elephants are begging on the street?
That's right. It's reported in India and also in Thailand. They have to earn their keep. They're not working anymore, and so their mahouts who stay with them actually beg on the streets both for food and for money.
Oh, boy. That's Vicky Croak. She covers animal issues for Here and Now. She also hosts the Wildlife blog and tweets at the Wildlife WBUR. We'll hook you up at hereandnow.org to everything. Vicky, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.
And an update now on those two window washers who were rescued yesterday. They were dangling 69 stories above Lower Manhattan, hanging on to their rig on the face of the new World Trade Center number 1. The company they work for says the men are doing well. They were treated for mild hypothermia. It's amazing they're not in shock. They held on to their platform and a rope from above for almost 2 agonizing hours as TV cameras rolled. And as the New York City Fire Department executed a rescue plan they'd recently rehearsed, eventually they got a hold through the thick window on the 68th floor. 2 firefighters reached out to bring each man in. Investigators are looking into why the rig's cable suddenly developed slack. Meanwhile, a whole city breathes a collective sigh of relief, and the many other window washers in that high-rise city go about doing their jobs.